the danger of burnout is it's kind of like the boiled frog, where the temperature just keeps coming up slowly. And by the time we're in trouble, we don't have the motivation or the care to take the actions we need to take.
Well, hey, Happy New Year, friends. Hope it's the best one yet. Can't get any worse than the last couple, right? But as with all things, I think time will tell. But in the meantime, I'm glad you're here. This is Future Proof. By the way, I am, as always, your host, Bill Sheridan. Good to be back with you. Let's get this 2022 show on the road, shall we? And we'll start, as we so often do, by reminding you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. It has been a tough couple of years, right? Pretty stressful out there for everybody. And, COVID is the least of it, believe it or not. We're working longer, harder, fewer breaks, fewer vacations and days off, all of which is bleeding into our personal lives because we're all working from home now. And it's stressing us out, man. Let's call it what it is. It's burnout. We are burned out. Exclamation point. A recent Business Insider survey found that 61% of Americans are at least somewhat burned out at their current jobs, and more than two-thirds of respondents said they felt more burned out since COVID-19 arrived. In her book, Burnout Epidemic, The Rise of Chronic Stress and How We Can Fix It, journalist Jennifer Moss says there are six main reasons why people feel more burned out today. So let's count them down, shall we? Number one, workload. They feel overworked, which can lead to weight loss or gain, body pain, exhaustion, both mental and physical, right? Lost sleep. Number two, perceived lack of control. So, one thing that all employees want, according to researcher Daniel Pink, is autonomy. That's control over, how they do their work, what they do, when they do it. And being micromanaged is demotivating, can lead to stress and burnout. Number three, lack of reward or recognition. We all want to know that our work matters. And when that's not communicated, again, demotivating. Number four, poor relationships. When we don't feel part of a community or cohort at work, when we don't have friends at work, that can quickly lead to burnout. Number five, lack of fairness. People who feel they are being treated unfairly or unjustly are more likely to feel burned out. And number six, mismatched values. This kind of comes back to strengths-based leadership, right? Moss writes, hiring someone whose values and goals do not align with the values and goals of the organization's culture may result in lower job satisfaction and negatively impact mental health, end quote. And this impacts our productivity, our health and well-being, our personal and professional relationships, our organization's performance. And then there's this. This was kind of surprising. Job site Monster.com did a survey that found out recently that 95% of survey respondents said they were considering leaving their jobs, and the number one reason why was burnout. And another thing I found surprising, this was according to password manager vendor 1Password, right? They did a survey recently, and they found out that employee burnout presents a severe, pervasive, and multifaceted security risk of all things. And why? Here's why. Quote, burned out employees are often apathetic and lax about workplace security measures. That's according to that report. And then according to WindowsCentral.com, quote, a main takeaway from the study is that overworked employees are more likely to feel security policies aren't worth the effort. Similarly, 12% of respondents claimed to be fatigued, or that claimed to be fatigued, rather, use the same password or a small group of passwords across work accounts. In contrast, only 7% of polled participants that did not claim to be burned out acted the same way, end quote. So direct correlation there between, or a seemingly direct correlation between burnout and security, your system securities, right? So burnout has huge implications for employee engagement, health and well-being, and also for an organization's security and bottom line. Look, we better do something about this, people. And that's why I am so glad to have as my guest this week, Dr. Britt Andriotta. She is an internationally recognized thought leader who uses her background in leadership, neuroscience, psychology, and education to create brain science-based solutions for today's workplace challenges. She's also a best-selling author, a top 20 learning influencer for 2021. And she and I sat down recently to talk about the symptoms of burnout, the real life impact it can have on individuals and organizations, what employees can do to protect themselves and where they should turn for help, and also what business leaders should be doing to protect their teams. So, you know, just a really timely, really important conversation this week that impacts each of us and our organizations in really profound ways. Pull up a chair, won't you, and take a listen to my conversation with Dr. Britt Andriotta. Britt, thanks so much for joining me today. A lot of talk out there these days about burnout, employee burnout, how it's impacting everybody. How do you define burnout?
Well, I look at the researchers who study burnout, and they define it as a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion brought on by long-term stress. And while we have this surge capacity that we can tap into during things like natural disasters, it's biologically limited to about 6 months. So we all used up our surge capacity a long time ago, about last holiday season. Right. And the thing that I think is really interesting is that burnout actually has three components to it. The first is emotional exhaustion, which is just chronic fatigue, which leads oddly to insomnia. So you're tired, but can't get enough sleep. You start having problems concentrating, you get forgetful, it creates anxiety and depression, anger, and a lot of physical symptoms like heart palpitations, chest pain, GI pain, dizziness, headaches. The second component is a decreased sense of accomplishment, which means you just, no matter what you do, you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything. You feel like nothing you do makes a difference. So people start to feel a lot of apathy and hopelessness, even for like jobs that they used to love or activities that used to give them a lot of pleasure. They just don't feel it anymore. And this leads to irritability, a lack of productivity, and ultimately poor performance. Mm-hmm. And then the third component is we move into a state of detachment and depersonalization, which means we've kind of used up our ability to have empathy and compassion, both for ourselves and others. So we start to not have any enjoyment from the things that used to make us happy. We start to feel isolated. We get really pessimistic. And we just really have a hard time caring for other people or even ourselves. And so we're kind of like, the danger of burnout is it's kind of like the boiled frog, where the temperature just keeps coming up slowly. And by the time we're in trouble, we don't have the motivation or the care to take the actions we need to take.
And wow. And you said this comes from long-term stress. Now, what could that stress look like? I mean, is it typically work-related stress, or is it kind of all-encompassing, just life, you know, that type of thing? What kind of is the main cause of this type of stuff?
Yeah. So let me give you two pieces of data. Before the pandemic even started in May of 2019, the World Health Organization identified burnout as an occupational disease because it causes a lot of health problems. It impacts workplaces all around the world. And before the pandemic, about 53% of the workforce was experiencing burnout. And burnout is caused by overworking and under-recharging. So you're just putting in way too many hours and you're not getting enough breaks to rest and recharge. And over time, we just deplete ourselves. Interestingly, during the pandemic, it really got exacerbated because with the lockdowns, there was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to recharge. All the things that we would normally do, like take a vacation or get a pedicure or go out to dinner with friends, we couldn't do. And then the pandemic was so stressful, just this idea that something could kill us and watching the death toll around the world, people were kind of leaning into work to kind of soothe those feelings of anxiety. So people were just grabbing their laptop and working more. In fact, we know that during the pandemic, the workday increased from 9 hours to 12 hours. Yeah. And people who didn't used to work evenings and weekends now regularly report they do. And on top of it, email providers say that one of the biggest time for logons is between midnight and 3 a.m.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it's like, so I'm a long-term remote worker. I've been working full-time remote since 2005. And that's one of the things that I always tell people to guard against is, you know, when your office is your home, you can work all the time, right? I mean, and you got to set those barriers or something's going to give, right? It's just,
exactly. And, you know, and commuting gives us a natural boundary from work, right? We have to literally drive to between two locations. So we have that time to decompress and think about things. But with the lockdowns, all those natural barriers just kind of fell away. And at first it was fine, but because it's been going on for so long, that's the real problem. And so we had this kind of trifecta of we had, you know, our surge capacity, which probably helped us get through the first year of the pandemic. We used it up. And now we're seeing, so before the pandemic, burnout was 53%. In March of this year, it was 71%. And now it's 89%.
Oh my gosh.
So the longer it's gone on and the longer we are overworking and under recharging. And I think this, as we were going into the spring, there was a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Vaccines were rolling out and people felt kind of excited. And then the Delta variant came and everyone, you know, and now we've got Omicron. So everyone's just kind of hunkering down again. And we're really seeing kind of the cumulative effect. There's a pretty big mental health crisis happening right now. In fact, the Surgeon General of the United States just put out a warning that our youth, our teens and our young adults are in particular danger, that suicides amongst this group are up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And they're not the only ones. You know, we are a social species. We're not meant to be isolated for this long, and we're not meant to work this hard and relax this little.
Yeah. And my next question was going to be, you know, was this already on the rise before the pandemic hit, but it really sounds like this, what we're talking about here is almost completely related to COVID.
Well, no, I would say the recent rise is related in COVID, but remember before the pandemic, the World Health Organization had already identified it as a problem at 53% of the workforce. Mm-hmm. And in the US alone, burnout related healthcare costs were $200 billion. Mm-hmm. So we already had a problem that needed to be addressed, and then COVID just put it in overdrive.
Everything else, COVID just accelerated it, right?
Yeah. So it really accelerated this problem. And, you know, it's what's driving the great resignation. It's the number one reason people are giving for leaving their jobs is burnout. But interestingly, the only cure for burnout is rest, not a new job. So if people aren't really tuned into how they're feeling, they kind of feel like, oh, all these crappy feelings I'm feeling about my job, those will be fixed if I just get a new job. But no. And in fact, people are taking new jobs. We're seeing a rise in ghosting behavior, both during the interview process. But what's really interesting is 25% of people who accept a new job are not showing up to their first day. And I think it's because they have that realization like, oh no, starting a new job is not what I needed. I need rest.
Mm-hmm. Are some people more prone to this than others? I mean, are there certain personality types that you could point to and say, this person's got to watch out?
Yeah. Again, before the pandemic, you'd see burnout the most in overachievers who typically work more than 40 hours and have a strong focus on perfectionism because they just don't let themselves stop until it's right. But during the pandemic, you know, we're seeing working parents are really struggling with burnout just because they've been doing the whole schooling thing. And then the vaccines have come to the youngest children last. So they've really had to stay in that hypervigilant mode for a very long time. So working parents have been hit the hardest. Women have been hit the hardest. And people of color are looking for jobs in higher numbers than white people. And I think that's also because one of the other dots I've been connecting is that one of the benefits of working from home is that it's given us all a break from our workplaces. And for women and people of color, oftentimes our workplaces are places where we face microaggressions and acts of discrimination and harassment. And so when we worked from home, we got a break from that. And in fact, we are seeing a lot of people of color talking about the fact that they can no longer, you know, after having a break from it, they just don't want to go back into those workplaces where they experience that. So they're leaving to find new work or start their business, start new businesses.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Have you come across any like real life examples of the kind of impact that burnout can have on individuals? Yes, but also their teams and their organizations.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm working with several large organizations right now, and everyone I know is seeing elevated turnover. The problem with elevated turnover is that two things. They're having a hard time getting new people to fill those positions. So the people who are left are carrying the work of multiple folks, not just themselves. And so it's accelerating their burnout. Mm-hmm. We're seeing organizations have positions filled, or, you know, positions posted and seeing zero applicants or hardly any applicants or ghosting behavior. So some organizations are really struggling. This is why we're seeing, you know, some organizations are raising their pay, they're offering better packages and that kind of thing, but they tend to offer them to the new employees. And so then the current employees are like, hey, wait a minute. And they might get motivated to look elsewhere too. But yeah, it's impacting every organization that I'm aware of. I think some leaders are a little bit in denial about how bad it is and what they really need to do to fix it. I mean, ultimately what's happening now is employees have had a huge values clarification process. They are wanting to make a change in their lives, and they are going to look for the employers that offer the most sense of well-being, the best amount of balance with work, you know, reasonably estimated work hours for a job. You know, we can't keep asking people to work 50, 60 hours for a salary. You know, it really should be about a 40-hour work week. So a lot of employees are going to change the workplace simply because those organizations won't be able to fill the jobs until they make some changes. Those who are quicker to identify it and make the changes will probably get through okay, but those who are going to be slow to having that awareness may have to close their doors. They may stutter and fail.
It's been remarkable how quickly we've seen that shift, and how quickly we've seen this notion of wellness become a critical skill that leaders have to master in order to remain relevant and to keep 100% of their staff happy. And I mean, it's just we never really used to have this conversation. It seems until just the last few years, and it's just been remarkable in my mind how quickly this has kind of come around.
Yeah. I mean, it was already an issue, but now, you know, think about what we've lived through. Every night we were watching the images of people in the hospitals, body bags, mass burials. You know, we've been inundated with these images for 2 years now. And biologically, we are wired for survival. We are wired to take a look at what could kill us and get really clear about what we need to be our healthiest and best. So one of the things that I want to just encourage everyone to understand is like, we cannot go back to before times. Mm-hmm. This is not something we will now go back to how it was. We are forever changed as a species, as a culture, as a current workforce. And so it's really about acknowledging that, looking at what the messages are, what people need and want in a workplace, and then organizations pivoting as quickly as they can in order to attract talent.
You rattled through a number of symptoms or signs of burnout earlier. If I'm a leader in my organization, what are the top things that I should be looking for, that I should have my antenna up and just, you know, ooh, I see something here that looks a little off. Maybe I need to pay attention to this person. What would you say some of those would be?
Yeah. So the obvious signs are we're seeing a big rise in incivility. People just are snappier and more aggressive and more intense. So seeing a rise in kind of incivility, quick to anger, irritability, conflict, those are clearly a sign. Another one is seeing people just exhausted, you know, seeing signs of forgetfulness or poor performance, seeing signs of apathy, people kind of staring off into space. You know, I was talking to one vice president the other day and she was like, oh, I did a talk on this. And she was like, oh my gosh, I now realize the conversation I had with my coworker last week, she was burned out. I just didn't know it because she was saying, I just don't feel right anymore. I'm just having a hard time like keeping it together. I don't know what's going on with me. I just feel off. Right. You know, those are the signs of burnout. We just don't feel very happy. We just don't feel very motivated, but we're not sure why. And then of course it can be extreme examples like heart palpitations and people really suffering from panic attacks. So it's everything from the subtle, you know, kind of unspoken malaise to really intense symptoms. So I would keep an eye out for those things. And the other thing is, I think we need to talk about it. We need to educate people about what burnout is, because if we give them the information, then they can kind of self-diagnose. What's really interesting is once we're in the stages of full-throat burnout, we need help getting out of it. We can't just decide to feel better. We need to take active interventions to get ourselves out of it. So talking about it, doing workshops on it, giving people time off and giving them more time to rest. So some companies are not only encouraging vacations, they're giving people bonuses for taking their vacations. They're incentivizing vacations. Mm-hmm. Some organizations are closing for even longer over the holiday period and saying, we really want you to rest and we're giving you extra time off. Some organizations are bringing back sabbaticals and rotating some of their top performers through like 2 months off, because it's better to lose a top performer for a couple months than forever. So organizations are getting pretty savvy. Well, some are getting pretty savvy about leaning into this and helping people start to recover.
Well, and maybe that's the answer to my next question too. But I mean, if we're looking for it, but haven't seen evidence of it, what can we be doing to make sure that it doesn't show up in the first place? And it sounds like some of the things that you just mentioned are part of that equation. Is there anything else that leaders ought to be kind of paying attention to as preventative measures?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say some organizations are in good shape. You know, I work with organizations where leaders have been very caring and conscientious, have been doing a lot of pulsing, you know, little kind of check-ins with their employees, and they've seen them start to flag, and then they take, you know, and do interventions immediately to try to help. So organizations that have been tuned in are probably in better shape than others. One thing leaders can do is role model it. You know, it's really hard to feel like you can take a vacation if you never see your leader taking one, or if you're encouraged to take a vacation, but the workload and deadlines you've been giving mean there's no way you could take a vacation. That's a real mixed message, right? Mm-hmm. And also leaders, you know, we're all a little guilty of this, you know, when we have that insomnia brought on by burnout and we hop on our laptop between midnight and 3 a.m. Well, it sends a message to your employees when they get an email and they see the timestamp, you know, from 2 o'clock in the morning. So I think we need to be careful as leaders about what we role model. We need to be taking our downtime. What's interesting is about leaders, oftentimes when they're dealing with their own burnout or their own sense of anxiety, they lean into creating more change. Because they're used to doing and building and creating, and they can just be really exhausting their teams because their own way of managing their anxiety is to push harder. And so I would be on the lookout for that too.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you know, once this shows up, that we really need help, right? We need to kind of seek that out. So I'm curious on a couple of fronts. Number one, where can employees turn for that type of help? What should they be aware of that's available to them?
Absolutely. Well, a lot of benefits packages include some therapy or coaching sessions. So I would definitely look at your employee benefits package, employee assistance programs. Oftentimes there's a certain number of sessions. The only thing is that therapists are seeing a huge rush now too. So it's a little harder to get into places. But now, you know, one of the benefits of COVID is that you don't have to go for an in-person session. There's a lot of counseling you can get over the computer. I would also look into mindfulness programs. you know, doing a mindfulness practice like yoga or meditation is shown to really help us learn how to manage and ground ourselves. And we become literally more emotionally resilient. We don't get as shaken by things and we recover quickly. And over time, you establish kind of a lower, calmer base. Mm-hmm. So a mindfulness practice, particularly meditation, and it can be very short, it can be as little as 10 minutes a day, is proven to biologically change the brain and help us achieve a calmer state. Interestingly, time in nature is shown to really help us recover from burnout. And it seems like the minimum magic number is 3 times a week for at least 20 minutes. So this means that, you know, going out for that walk, this is why vacations are so restorative. Most of the time when we go on vacation, we are out in nature a lot more, but spending more time in nature, going for a hike, going for a walk, getting out and about, sitting in that park, even if it's cold outside and it's snowing, being outside with a cup of hot chocolate and just being in nature, that we are natural beings. And there are things in nature that help us restore ourselves. And so leaning on nature. And then interestingly, play. If you think about it, biologically, when we're in a survival state, we don't play when we feel threatened. And so when we play, it also signals to our body that we're safe and we can relax a little bit. And many of us lost access to our forms of play over the pandemic. I certainly did. And the interesting thing that happens is that after a while, we get in a habit of not doing those things. So even now, it's more safe with people vaccinated and boosters and stuff. And even with masks and outside, it's pretty safe to be around others. Many people haven't gone back to their forms of play. So I would say lean into playing more. You're not going to feel like you want to because you're burned out, but I would push yourself a little bit, kind of fake it till you make it, because doing play behaviors actually signals to the body that it can simmer down on that hypervigilance and survival mode. And your sense of joy will start to come back the more you do it.
Boy, great advice. How about for employers? What help is available for leaders to kind of fight this issue?
Well, definitely leaders should be using the same practices for themselves, you know, address their own personal burnout first. But there's a lot of great services, and I would talk to their talent professionals about this. But, you know, there's a lot of great services and programs you can bring into your organization. Desk Yogi is a wonderful service that brings mindfulness practices, things that you can do at your desk, you know, 5-minute meditations, 10-minute yoga in your cubicle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Organizations like Lyra are bringing a lot of healthcare packages that include wellness and therapy and some of these services. So just making sure that you're partnering with providers. In addition, you know, I think employers can look at using different kinds of tools to manage their workforce. Things like job sharing is a great way to deal with this new world. We do have to create jobs that are now for this hybrid work world. We're not going to go back to full-time in person. Certainly investing in manager training makes a big difference, because one of the things that stresses people out the most is a poorly trained manager. Mm-hmm. People tend to leave a boss, not a company. So making sure your managers are well-equipped with the skills that create a psychologically safe environment, that they know how to cultivate their people and make them feel like they matter. And then also look at your performance review systems. You know, people want to feel like their contributions make a difference. And oftentimes, our performance review systems, first of all, only happen once a year. And second of all, the rewards are saved for the top performers that have really high achievement levels. And we forget to acknowledge people for doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And that kind of recognizing people for effort, progress, outcomes, we don't always do a good job at that. I would say right now, every leader should be thanking their workforce for making it through the pandemic. I mean, people leaned in hard. Some companies had their best earnings years ever because people worked so hard during the pandemic, and they should be sharing that wealth with their employees, not just elevating the salaries of the top executives.
That's really great advice. When you're feeling stressed, a little burned out, what's your go-to solution? What do you like to do?
Well, it's interesting. You know, one of the aha moments I had during this is that all of my self-care that I use for managing stress involved other people. I would get pedicures, I'd get facials, I would get massages, I would go out to dinner with my girlfriends or go see a movie. And so when the pandemic first hit, I was really struck by the fact that I didn't have self-care that I controlled. It involved other people. So I had to start finding other things. I have found a couple hobbies that it turns out I really enjoy. And I have to, the thing I have to watch out is because I'm an entrepreneurial kind of mind, I always take something that I enjoy and start to figure out how to be more productive at it or how to monetize it. And so I have to not do that. I have to let myself just enjoy something just to enjoy it. So for me, I found fabric arts. So I've been doing a lot of sewing and fabric collaging and working with fabric. It turns out to be is really calming for me. And then there's things that I love to do. I'm very much a social person. So we bought a lot of heat lamps and just kept having people come over and we'd sit 6 feet apart and we'd be out there in our coats. But I knew that being around people really was important to me. So trying to keep that going was something we put time into. I'm also a reader. I love a good book. I love a good movie. You know, I guess one of the joys of the pandemic is there's now so many streaming services that you literally, there's so much to choose from. You don't have a shortage of things to watch. But being on a screen is not nearly as valuable as being with other people. We are a social species and being out in nature. We are a natural species. So I think for me, I'm really mindful of trying to put those two things in higher levels in my schedule.
That's great. Well, keep it up. And thanks so much for the insights and for your time. But this has been a great conversation. I appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you today.
So much good stuff there on a really important topic these days. That was Dr. Britt Andriotta, an internationally recognized thought leader who uses her background in leadership, neuroscience, psychology, and education to create brain science-based solutions for today's workplace challenges. You can learn more by visiting brittandriotta.com. That's B-R-I-T-T-A-N-D. reatta.com. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now. That's right now. By visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all we got, gang. Have a great week and a great 2022. We'll see you again soon.